Good morning, everyone. This morning we're going to be looking at preparing for God's spring in your life. We're going to be reading Isaiah 43, verses 16 through 21. It says, "This is what the Lord says, He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former thing. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland, to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I form for myself, that they may proclaim my praise." Heavenly Father, as we look into your word today, Father, fill us with a vision of new things in our life, of new ideas and new ways of approaching life. Father, help us to learn how to forget the former things, that we might be able to see the new thing. And Lord, we'll give you the praise today in Jesus' holy name. Amen. The faith and hope in God's people was at such a low point during the days of Isaiah the prophet that they constantly needed assurance that new things would eventually turn around and come into their lives. Throughout the book of Isaiah, these assurances are often repeated over and over again, using different word pictures to describe God's love for them, and in spite of their backsliding ways, to give them hope that God still loved them. The Lord spoke to his people in the first part of chapter Isaiah 43, verse 1. He said, "But now this is what the Lord says, He who created you, Jacob, He who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I've redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they'll not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you'll not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze." Our Lord wants us to know that in many ways, we can find a way to break the power of the oppression in our lives. Oftentimes, we have a hard time, just as the children of Israel did, believing God that He's going to give us a new way and a new hope. In today's section of Scripture, He uses different word pictures to reassure the nation of Israel that changes are about to take place. Looking to the past, He says in Isaiah 43:3, "For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I'm with you. I'll bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I'll say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar, my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, who I created for my glory, whom I formed and made." Our Lord wants us to know, and Isaiah reminds the people of his day, of the great things that God did for their forefathers. As He brought them out of Egypt, He said He's going to make it His business to do it again for you now. He is the Holy One of Israel, and He's able to do it. All through the generations, He had taken care of His people in different situations, and the Lord could make a way in the wilderness as long as the way through the Red Sea. The same power that God used for them, the Lord can use for us today. Sometimes we're able to believe God that He can do those great things, but at other times we really don't believe that he can or that he would do some of those things. We think, I can't possibly see how God can open a way in this situation. It's been going on so long now. It's important for us to look to the past to see what God was able to do in similar situations in the past, how to handle the big problems as well as the small ones, to realize that he can handle the impossible situations as well as the easy ones. In Jeremiah 32, verse 27, the Lord says, I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me? Our Lord knows how to handle our troubles. Take a look at some of the previous problems that you faced in your own life. You thought you'd never get out of your Egypt. The Bible tells that the children of Israel were in Egypt 400 years. Folks, your problem hasn't lasted 400 years yet. Our Lord has the authority to make good on his promises. And we'll see that he has kept all of his promises to you, and he will keep all of his promises in the fast. We would need to look at a little story to see if this is true. A man was taking a drive through the country when his car suddenly stopped running. As he coasted to the side of the road and lifted the hood, a horse came by pulling a cart, and as the horse went by, he never slowed down, but he looked at the man, and the horse said, you better check the gasoline. The man was shocked. He went to the nearest farmhouse and knocked on the door. When the farmer entered the door, the man frantically explained what had happened. And the farmer asked, did that horse have floppy ears? The man replied, yes, that's the one. Oh, well, the farmer drawled, don't believe everything he says. He doesn't know the first thing about cars. When we hear those stories, we laugh, but oftentimes we start thinking our Lord is like that horse. He doesn't know much about life. But our God has given us promises in his word. And regardless of what that promise is found in his word, we can trust it. In Isaiah 55:11, the Lord says, so is my word that goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Sometimes we forget things too easily, while at other times we hang on to things far too long. An elderly couple was having trouble remembering things, so they decided to go to the doctor to get checked out and make sure nothing was seriously wrong with them. When they arrived at the doctor's, they explained to the doctor about the problems they were having with their memory. After checking the couple out, the doctor told them that they were physically okay, but might want to start writing some things down and make notes to help them remember things. The couple thanked the doctor and left. Later that same night, while watching TV, the old man got up from his chair and his wife said, where are you going? He said, I'm going to the kitchen. She asked, will you bring me a bowl of ice cream? He replied, sure. Then she said, don't you think you should write it down so you can remember it? He says, no, I can remember that. Then she says, well, I will also like some strawberries on the top. You better write that down because I know you'll forget that. He says, I can remember that. You want a bowl of ice cream with strawberries? She replies, well, I would also like some whipped cream on the top. I know you'll forget that, so you better write it down. With irritation in his voice, the old boy says, I don't need to write that down. I can remember that. Then he fumed off into the kitchen. About 20 minutes later, he returns from the kitchen and he hands her a plate of bacon and eggs. She stares at the plate for a moment and she says, you forgot my toast. On the one hand, Isaiah is telling the people, look back to see how the Lord has helped you in the past. But you must not dwell on the past. Have you known people that are stuck living in a past time of their life? They talk about the good old days. Some people talk as if they're still living during the Vietnam War era. Folks, those days, they think were better or worse But they're so vivid in their minds, they're stuck in the past, and they're not living for the present. At times, it's better sometimes just to forget some things that are hindering your growth now. But at other times, it's so important to remember the things that God has done so that you remember that he can do anything. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, the Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. We all have troubles and we can all help each other, but in the end, we need to know that God can do anything in our lives and anything through our lives. There comes a time when you have to stop dwelling on the past and you have to look forward to new miracles and new things God longs to do in your life. In Isaiah 43:18, the Lord says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. What he's saying is, don't dwell so much on the former things, both good and bad, that you fail to see that God wants to do brand new things. He wants to bring new ideas and new ways into your life. He wants to take you into the promised land on a continual basis. We learn that works and what doesn't work in our life from the past, but we don't dwell on that. The things that brought us success in the past may no longer bring those things. And so we have to look for the new things that God is up to. If we're fretting and stewing over things that happened in the past, we often won't see what God's new thing is for the future. Recalling the past answer to prayers gives us hope. And dwelling on past problems and difficulties doesn't solve anything. It just keeps us from seeing the new thing that God's up to. Back when electricity was first being introduced to a little Scottish village, almost everybody in a particular church switched from propane lanterns to electricity just as soon as it could be hooked up. However, the oldest couple in the congregation couldn't get the electricity to their house as they were waiting for poles and wires to be strung. They continued using their propane lanterns. The day finally arrived for them to bring electricity into their home, and all the church came over for a festive event at their home. The old boy waited for it to get extra dark, and then he told his wife, turn on the switch. When she did, the light filled the room and everyone rejoiced. The man grinned from ear to ear, picked up his propane lamp, and said, it sure makes lighting my lamp easier. With that, he lit his propane lamp and told his wife to turn off the electricity. Folks, that's the way, so sadly, we see God do a new thing, but we don't take advantage of the new thing. Are you still hanging on to the past in your life when you could be living in the present? Are you still thinking of past failures or past successes and no longer think the Lord has new things for you to do? It could be things that people have said to you that hurt your feelings years ago, that you're hanging on so tightly you won't make new friendships. It could be things that happened to you on your job or in your family or even at your church. And those things are keeping you living in captivity. Your captivity could stem from some of your habits and addictions of the past, but it's time to let go. It's time to look for God to do a new thing. He says it'll spring forth even now. We are to identify as possible barriers in our lives and our problems, those things in the past that happened, but we're not to let it stay a barrier today. We need to move on to new things. In Isaiah 43:19, the Lord says, see, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. A few verses earlier in Isaiah 42:9, he said this, See, the former things have taken place, and a new thing I declare before they spring into being. I announce them to you. Our God wants us to know that it's time for us to be looking for that new thing right now. God wants us to look ahead to new miracles, to new life that will overshadow the old miracles and the old life we had. It's time to declare that spring is here. An illustration of that is found in London businessman Lindsay Clegg telling the story of a warehouse property he was selling. The building had been empty for months and needed repairs. Vandals had damaged the door and smashed the windows and strewn trash all around the interior. As he showed his prospective buyer the property, Craig took pains to tell him he would replace broken windows, bring in a crew to correct any structural damage, and clean out the garbage. "Forget about the repairs," the buyer said. "When I buy this place, I'm going to build something completely different. I don't want the building. I want the site." Compared with the renovation God has in mind, our efforts to improve our own lives are as trivial as sweeping a warehouse that's bound for the wrecking ball. When God takes over the old building, he makes it brand new. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, he says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here." Answers to prayers are beginning to happen. Many of you have prayed for a long time about things and you haven't seen any answers yet to those prayers. We often can get discouraged when we don't get those answers soon. The people of Isaiah's days were discouraged, but our Lord wants us to know that he's working. And suddenly, those things that you want in your life are going to spring up. He said in Mark 4:26, he also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he doesn't know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head." So what the Lord is saying is, as you're praying for him to work in your life and to bring the spring back into your life, that's the seed. You've planted the seed, it grows all by itself. The parable of the seed tells us that the seed is planted, it sprouts and grows, and although we don't know how, the Lord brings the increase. Isaiah goes on to say, "The new thing that God is doing shall spring forth," giving an indication of the rapidity with which it may come. Once God begins to answer our prayers, it can happen very quickly. What you thought was the fall of your life and the end of your life can actually be a brand new beginning. One more time, Isaiah 43, verse 18. "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." The spring of the year brings rebirth of nature, new beginning. The crocus breaks through the ground with purple blooms. The bright yellow daffodils open up in a blast of color after the drabness of winter. The Lord is asking us, can you in your heart see him doing new things in your life? Begin to open up more and be perceptive of what God is doing, the new thing in your life. Begin to thank him in advance for the new thing that he's bringing. Expect new miracles to spring forth and burst out this season of your life. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the new things. As we get older, we begin to think you're just about done with us. And then you surprise us by doing a new thing. Father, continue your work all the days of our life. Help us to look expectantly at the next new thing you're going to do. And Father will be sure to give you the praise in Christ Jesus' holy name. Amen.